Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your sweet presence, Lord God. And that your name be praised. Father, just the line in that song, Lord God, it says, from the tomb I came alive. And Lord, I can just imagine how Lazarus felt when you called him forth from the tomb that he was in. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you have called us out of the tomb. And Father, so that we can experience who you are, Father, that your name would be glorified, that each man and woman in this place, Lord God, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. That, Father, you are creating problems, that the people in this house are solutions, Father, to the problems, Lord God, that are being created. Each and every individual, Lord God, has a place in your house that they'll be able to serve, Lord God. There is a purpose, Lord God, for everybody. And so, Father, we thank you and we lift your name on high. And, Father, as we delve into your word, Father, open up our hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, week number 3, Money Rules. That's the title of the series. Today's message title is called Doorways. And just a quick recap from last week. We spoke on, this was the good servant and the bad steward. The good stewards versus the bad ones. And some of the lessons from them were, they understood the importance of taking advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them. So the two guys were given 5, 2, and 1. We know the person with the one talent, he dug it into the ground. The other guys, they quickly put it to use. So they understood the importance of taking advantage of opportunities. And like, I don't know what Pastor Nami said, but I know that if I came up with her next week or the week after, and I said, you know, church, and maybe we're 80 years old each. Well, she'll be a bit younger than me, but, you know, if I'm 80 and she's younger, and I say, church, we are believing the Lord to start a family, you guys would think these guys are nuts because we missed the opportunity to do it whilst we were able. And that is the importance about life, is that life has got seasons where things happen, you know, where we are blessed. And so we have to utilize the opportunities that we're given. And of course, they understood the law of use, which basically says that if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, they understood the law of use. And one of the things, you know, I would say, and I hope you don't stone me afterwards, but it's that it's important for us in whatever thing we do to understand that we have to aspire to be our best. And when it comes to our finances, it should be that if I started the year with $10 in my bank account, I should aspire that by the time I get to the end of the year, I want to have $30. Now, the reason why I kept it small is so that you'd be like, okay, it's something that I can attain. And the reason being is that God wants us to always be thinking of increase, not of always staying the same. Because if we increase, it means that we will be able to do more, to have more, which is important, but also to be able to do more with the things that God has given us. And so our goal is to be a millionaire, not for the money, but for what it will make of you to achieve it. Because it's never about the money. It's about what it will make of you to achieve it. And so the greatest value in life is not what you get. The greatest value is what you become. Because you can get a hell of a lot of money and be a billionaire, but just be a weird, horrible billionaire. That is no good for anybody. And so it's what you become in life that is the key thing. And so when it comes to our finances, there is something that we need to be aspiring for more, not for less, because of what it would take for us to achieve it, but of course, what we will become along the way. And so for many years, you know, I worked. And you have to understand, you see, is that the difference between if there was a white Stephen standing up here and a black Stephen, the difference between the two of us, if we were all getting the same salary, let's just say $1,000 a month, we were all getting $1,000 a month, the white Steve would take that $1,000, and if he has a wife, it's just for him and his wife. Now, the black Steve, on the other hand, has got to take that $1,000. It's not just for his wife. It's for all the other family members that we have, you know. And that makes it very difficult, because that $1,000 is now shared amongst 22 people. Whereas for the white dude, it might, and that's why I said it might, just be for him and his wife. And so for years, I struggled with this thing where I was working, but I was saying, where is my money going? You know, and you're always aspiring to say, you know, I wanna purchase this. We have a goal that we wanna purchase a house. But things just did not seem to work. And so there used to be a constant prayer that I would always say to the Lord, Lord, help me be a good steward. Because I just felt that I was not handling money in the right way. Because it just seems to be, as soon as it came in, I would always have this running joke to say, the Commonwealth Bank, the person that oversees my bank account, would say, whoop, today is payday, Steve's money's come in, and Steve's money's gone out. Because that it felt like that the money comes in and the money goes out. And so I remember sitting, you know, having a time with the Lord in the place that I normally meet with the Lord, you know, which is the throne room for me, sitting on the throne in the bathroom. And, you know, and saying, God, help me be a good steward. Now, this is probably the umpteenth time that I've asked the Lord for this. And in the moment, it may sound really silly, I just had a thought came to my mind about just open a different bank account. I thought, oh, okay. All right, so I went on with that. That could have been me, you know. I said, okay, I'll do that. And direct a portion of your wages directly into that account. And so I actioned the thought. So I opened the new bank account and went to work and said, look, X amount of dollars, X percentage, can you send it to this account? And they began to do that. Then the bank kindly sent me an ATM card, you know, with a MasterCard on it, symbol. And so I took that card and I took it to work because they had a shredder, and I shredded the card. Because that was the sign that I could not use those, I didn't have anything to withdraw the funds with. And it was through this act that a few years later, we were in a position where we were able to purchase the house that we wanted, you know? And so we honestly don't believe that God wants any of us to be poor or loves people being defeated by money problems, you know? If we look around the vicinity that we're in, there's affluence and, you know, we can see that. But at the same time, there is also people that are struggling and people that are struggling within our community. And that does not bring any joy or glory to the Lord, you know? He doesn't get any glory from poverty. He doesn't get any glory if all we're doing is living paycheck to paycheck. He wants us to always have more so that we can do more. And like as we've said before, God is that he creates doorways for people to go through. But his style and his only style is that he is going to work through both you and I to be able to achieve it. He's not just going to be, hey, presto. There was a time, if you look in the Old Testament, there was a time when God did things, rained manna on them, but then there was a time where the people had to fight with the Lord. So yes, there's a time where God will come in and do great and miraculous things, but there's also the time where God is going to say, guys, it's time to lace up your shoes and get to work. I remember a time when we got married and we would walk everywhere. And we obviously, you know, when you get married, we had nothing, you know. And so we used to catch the bus, but when we had money, we would take a taxi with our groceries. Now, the house that we lived was 2 kilometers away. And so to save that extra bit of money, what we'd do is that we'd use it to buy our food, and then I would have to carry all the potatoes in a backpack. Now, you might think, that's nothing, but it was a hilly area, you know, and it was called Mount St. Thomas because it was mountainous and you had to walk up, you know. And I recall a time when we had absolutely nothing, that we ate rice and tomato sauce. But you know what? Those times were, you know, they obviously were not good times, you know, of having rice and tomato sauce. But afterwards, we just drank water and we went to bed, you know, big deal. Do you remember a time when you had nothing in your life, you know, and the only thing on your menu was rice and beans, or which is better than tomato sauce, you know? I wonder how you would cherish 5 cents. You see, 5 cents, 10 cents, that meant a lot to you. But soon as we began to work, that 5 cents didn't mean as much anymore because now I have extra. And now our problem is that we throw away a lot of food. You know, every week we go to the shopping and there's lots of stuff, and then Tuesday's normally bin day in the area that we live, and there's lots of stuff that gets chucked out. It's funny how life can be like that, how we take for granted the things that we are given and the things and the resources we have. And so when it comes to our finances, human beings are wired differently and we relate to money in different ways. Because you see, money brings about different thoughts, emotions, and attitudes. And in his book, The 7 Money Types, Tommy Brown says that, and I quote, "Experiencing financial well-being is possible if we understand how God designed us in one of 7 ways to handle money." And this is based on 7 characters in the Old Testament, and how they relate to money shows an aspect of God's image. And so there are 7 types here, and I'll just quickly paraphrase through them. Abraham, and how Abraham related to money is that he used money and other resources as opportunities to show God's loving kindness to others. Isaac, disciplined. They are focused, and people who are Isaac types with money are focused and determined with their finances, seeking to make the most of their resources. They like to know where their money is going. Then we got Jacob, and the aspect of God's image is beauty, where they would use resources and take things that were just ordinary and make them into something extraordinary with their resources. Joseph, he showed an image of God that was connection, and his money and the basic belief when Joseph came to relating with money is that money opens doors and makes connections. Moses was endurance. Aaron was, he believed that money should be used as a means to serve others. And David was, he used money, and he saw it as a distinct ability to see the picture. They possess a clear sense of why something is worth pursuing, and they align resources toward action. And so David was tasked, there was this thing of building the temple, and he used the leadership to direct the resources so that his son could then build the temple of the Lord. Now, you can Google, you know, the 7 money types, and there's actually an assessment that you can do to help you determine what kind of money type you are. Now, the challenges for me as an African man is that things are just not for me, they're also for my family. And when I found it quite a struggle when my father died, you know, and so all of a sudden people would call me with all their problems, and guess what I would do? I'll just get in the habit of supporting and supporting and supporting. Until my wife said to me one day, "Here you are supporting everybody, but look at your children." Back then, Mandla was, six years old, and the other ones were 4 and 2. And she said, "Look at your other children. They have nothing, you know." And I got so angry with her. You know, don't you understand, you know, that I'm a firstborn son, that I've got responsibilities. But after a while, when I allowed the words that she spoke to me, I recognized that there comes a time when you need to sort of like sever certain the expectations that people have for you. If it's my primary responsibility was to my family. And so that was the challenge that I had, where I just like to dole out, you know, I enjoy doing that. But sometimes what can happen is that you do it at the expense of your family. You do it at your own expense, where you just want to give everything and then you've got nothing. Which I think is that's not the way the Lord wants it for us. That is being irresponsible. You know, where I would come in and I would give 20K, you know, and then the next week I'm praying, believing Lord for rent money. That's not the way it should be. We need to be more rounder than that. We need to be common sense Christians. So Joseph, as we said, we're talking about doorways. Joseph, his money type, he believed that money opens doors and makes connections. And if we can take some lessons from the life of Joseph, it was really going to help us when it comes to the way that we relate to money. If we read in Genesis chapter 37, 7 to 9, it says that one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." And then his brothers were ticked off. "So you think you'll be our king?" And they hated him even more. And then he had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I have had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." And this really obviously annoyed his brothers. And there came a time in Joseph's life where he interacted again with two guys in prison. And these guys were really dejected. And he says, "Guys, what's going on?" And so the guy said, "Look, we had a dream last night. We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. And so there were two guys, the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. Eventually Joseph said, "Look, this is the response to your dream, is that in 3 days you're going to be put back into your position." And so now the baker, he thought, "Oh my goodness, that's good news for the cupbearer. Maybe if I tell him my dream, he'll tell me the interpretation." And so he told him his dream. And Joseph's interpretation was that in 3 days, your head is going to be chopped off and it's going to be eaten by the birds of the air. And so finally there came a time when the cupbearer was taken up and was restored back in his position. And then Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. He says, "I was standing on the bank of the Nile River and I saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and began grazing in the marsh. And then he saw 7 sick-looking cows, you know, and the skinny cows ate the fat cows." And so Joseph interprets the dream for Pharaoh. The 7 healthy cows and the 7 healthy heads of grain represent 7 years of prosperity. So some of the lessons that we can see from Joseph and his life about how he was a doorway for others is that Joseph types view money, their view is that money opens doors and connections. So they view money as a means of opportunity for themselves and others. So what Joseph did is that he took the resources that were given to him. He was managing other people's money. He did it for Potiphar. He did it in the prison. And obviously for Pharaoh as well. And so the way that he used the resources he was given unlocked potential in his life. Because you see that there was a progression where he was in Potiphar's house, he used the resources wisely, then he moved into the prison, he used the resources wisely in the prison, eventually to get to where now he's ruling over the kingdom of Pharaoh. And money or opportunities should be used to steward, you know, the stewarding of other things afforded him to access to important people. They view access to money or to resources as a sacred trust. If you ever want to do something for yourself in your own life, it's always going to be dependent on how you look after somebody else's money or somebody else's resources. That is always going to be the key point, because you can't say, look, you know what? When I start my own business, I'm going to make sure that I look after things properly. It's going to start on, God is always going to look to see how well do you look after somebody else's stuff. And so are you going to take the ownership upon yourself and say, you know what? In this role that I've been given at work, I'm going to do my level best so that the boss of this company can increase and can get better. So do you value somebody else's stuff like your own? Because if you don't, that is just an indication of what you'd be like with your own stuff. And so when we wonder why we don't have stuff, we need to start checking how do we look after the other stuff we've been entrusted with other people. So Joseph Tice believes helping others succeed is integral to personal success. So Joseph made the most of every opportunity that he was given. He helped others succeed, which led him to his own success. And that's the key thing. You can be highly gifted, be the best person, but if you ain't going to help anybody else, what good are you? You know? And so what you have to do is to take it upon yourself to say, you know what? I can cook, even if you stay at home, you know, I'm a really good cook, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my favorite family recipe, and I'm going to bake, or I'm going to cook this, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. Because what you're doing is that you're sowing the seeds for your own success in the future. And so as Joseph sowed in other people's lives, all those things came back. Imagine if Joseph was bitter and said, why did the Lord put me in this place? As a young person, I dreamt, and this is Joseph speaking, I dreamt that people would be bowing to me, but look at me, I'm in prison. And when these guys presented their dreams, he could have said, get stuffed. But he used that opportunity to say, you know what, this is what is going to happen to you. And guess what happened? The cupbearer remembered him. And then in one day, he goes from being in prison to ruling the land. Now we know it takes, you know, it doesn't just happen. It was the things he did before that positioned him to be able to succeed. And I recall there's a time a couple at Lighthouse Church in Wollongong, this is back in the days when we just got married. We used to walk everywhere and catch public transport. And a couple at Lighthouse Church in Wollongong, their names were Belinda and Craig. They gave us a vehicle, a Toyota Camry that used to be theirs. So they had bought a newer car, and they said, you know what, guys? Here you go. Here's a Toyota Camry. And that was a big gift, you know? Never had a car. That was my first car in Australia. It was a gift. Here you go. And so rather than they made a doorway for us by giving us their vehicle, because I think Unami was pregnant at the time, but most importantly, through their act of generosity, what happened is that I would take that vehicle and I would go and pick up students from Botswana that were at the University of Wollongong and bring them to church. And therefore creating opportunities and doorways for other people to be able to experience the Lord. You know? You see, so Joseph was a doorway. Each and every one of us is without excuse, because God has specifically created problems that only you have the solution for. And so we didn't just appear here for nothing. We won in the initial race of life so we could be conceived, and then we were born, and that was for a specific purpose. And the purpose being that Charlie, Caroline, Christian, there is a problem that only you can solve. Because God is very smart. He didn't just put you here so that you guys could look good, not just for your good looks, but he also put us here so we could fix things, certain problems. The question is that, are we going to be held back by insecurity? Are we going to be held back by fear, you know, of failing? Are we going to be held back by fear of success because we don't want people to start, you know, all our friends to leave us because all of a sudden we're successful. Joseph started off with two dreams, and I'll get the worship team to come back up. He started off with two dreams, and they meant the same thing. Now, you need to understand that the pattern of Pharaoh's dreams were exactly similar to the pattern of Joseph's dreams. And so he dreamt two dreams that meant the exact same thing. Pharaoh dreamt two dreams that meant the exact same thing. And so the question I ask is, what dream are you dreaming? Because Joseph's dreams became a doorway, not just for him, but for a whole generation that came after him. So what dream are you dreaming that will allow you to become the doorway? Have your dreams died? Whatever it is that you're always hoping for in your life, that one day I may start a new business. You know, I'm believing for whatever it is you desire deep down, you know, and that you think that because it hasn't happened, it's come to an end. We need to start taking the lessons from Joseph, is that those dreams are a doorway to the things that God wants to do through each and every one of us, because we are here for a specific reason. We are here because we are a solution to another person's problems. That's why God put us on earth, because we are solutions. You know, we are solutions. God is not offended when we dream big. And you've got to understand that God is glorified when we dream big and we pursue those things that God has put on our hearts. And I would just say that if your dreams have, you know, you've put them to the side and you think they will never come to pass, today is not the day. Today is the day to dust them dreams off and dream again. And say, Lord, I'm going to believe that you have something for me. You see, God is calling each of us individually to dream big. And he's also calling all of us together as a corporate entity, as the church, to dream big. So that people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can run programs and do stuff that will bring health and vitality to our community, both physically, you know, with their needs, but also spiritually, that they will be fed, that they too can be doorways, that we are doorways for other people. And I'll just end with this. Imagine what we will all be able to accomplish in our time, in this place, in our lives, if we utilized money and relationships like Joseph. Will you become a doorway? And just with every eye closed, and I just want us to begin to imagine that, imagine you decide to be a doorway. Can you see the people, if us as a church decide that we're going to be a doorway, can you see the people pouring into this place during the week, not just on Sunday, but during the week, and on a Sunday, people's lives being changed one person at a time? Imagine the lives that we will be touching together corporately, right here in Fremantle. People giving their lives to Christ, being baptized, growing in their faith. If you imagine the possibilities, with God, we definitely can. And let me pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that we are solutions and that we are doorways, Lord God. And that, Lord, you are not offended when we dream big, because you are not glorified, Father, when we suffer and when we struggle. Lord, we're not talking about being selfish and being goofy and weird. Lord, we're just talking about healthy finances and the way that we use the resources that you've given to us. That, Lord, we would not just be able to bless our families, but, Lord, we would follow the formula of Abraham, that he was blessed so that he would be a blessing. That, Father, your people would be blessings, Lord God, that would touch other people's lives, that would make an impact. That us as C3 Fremantle, Lord God, we would recognize that we are a solution, Lord God, to the problems that are out there. And so, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that, Lord, they would, if they've ever dreamed dreams, Lord God, and they've set them aside, that it's time to pick up those dreams. It's time to dream again, just like Joseph dreamt. And Lord, we would know that, Father, we dream dreams, and it's not just about the destination. It is about the journey, because it is about the person that we will become and the people that you want us to be. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the blessing and the increase that you would bring in people's lives, Lord God. That, Father, it is what it will make of them to achieve it. So whatever goals they have in their lives, Father, I pray they would come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. So thank you.